San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 8, 2025. Today's lesson is Giving from Fullness with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome home to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let's anchor ourselves in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows throughout everything. And I call this God, the living spirit, almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. Now, this is still 2025, and our theme is Simple Abundance, and thank you, Reverend Mark, for that beautiful recap on what we are coming to realize abundance truly is. It's not the stuff that we collect. It's who we are and how we live. Today's lesson is Giving from Fullness, and in our June theme of generosity, it's important that we understand that we can't give from an empty cup. We need to be full. We need to have our own inner fullness, our own supplies and substance filled, so that we can give to others. Because generosity is not giving to impoverish ourselves. It is giving from our overflow of love, of blessings, and of supply. We have an offering song that I wrote in December of 2005, and it's in your programs, and it starts out with, I am filled to overflowing, my every need is met, and I give from my abundance of blessings that I get. So it's not saying we are giving one thing in particular. It is saying, I am so blessed that everything is already given to me. And so I am going to share these blessings and give them to others as blessings. Now, that way of thinking is also a way of life. Giving from fullness. But it asks us a question without using the words. How are we looking at life? How are we looking at life? There is a book, In Tune with the Infinite, that was written by Ralph Waldo Trine. And in the prelude of the book, it says, the optimist is right. The pessimist is right. The one differs from the other as the light from the dark, yet both are right. Each is seen from his own particular point of view, and this point of view is the determining factor in the life of each. It determines as to whether it is a life of power or impotence, of peace or of pain, of success or of failure. Trine goes on to say that the optimist has the power to see things in their entirety and in their right relations, while the pessimist looks from a limited and one-sided view. One is illumined by wisdom, the other is darkened by ignorance. And I'm sure all of us here today have leaned toward one side or the other, depending upon the circumstances going on in our lives. In February 1953, there was a punchline going around. And the punchline was, well, I'll tell you the punchline at the end of the story. But the punchline was based on an original question. And the example was printed in a newsletter of an Ohio group affiliated with Alcoholics Anonymous. So this is an attitude that is questioning how do we look at life, especially if you're in AA or one of the 12-step recovery programs. How are you looking at life? Are you looking at it as, this is real hard work and I've got to do this, or this is a great blessing and thank God I found it, right? So here's the story. A psychiatrist was consulted regarding identical twins, one an optimist and the other a pessimist. For Christmas, the parents were told to give the pessimist a room filled with wonderful toys, while the room for the optimist was filled with fertilizer and maybe a shovel. That's all. The disparate reactions were recounted, they told the psychiatrist. The pessimist was slouched in a chair with a dejected look on his face. He hadn't even removed the gift wrappings. "What's the use?" he asked glumly. "I probably won't like what I find, and if I do, I won't get to keep it." A marked contrast greeted them in the other room. With a broad grin on his face, the optimist was shoveling for all he was worth. "With all this fertilizer," he declared, "there's got to be a pony somewhere." Got to be a pony somewhere. So that's how do we look at life. But how do we really look at our supply? We have the choice to either stay stuck in the mental anguish of negativity, like the pessimist, or we can liberate our minds and our hearts in realizing the freedom we have to choose happiness. To choose happiness. Remember, we cannot live a choiceless life. We are forever making choices, even choosing whether to think about if we're living a choiceless life. Am I really choosing? All this stuff is happening around me. Am I really choosing? Well, yeah. Yeah, you are. Roy Eugene Davis is a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda, and he's the founder and director of the Center for Spiritual Awareness in Georgia. And he says this about optimism. In spite of existing conditions, the first positive choice to make is to be optimistic. That's what you should be choosing, to be optimistic. Cheerfulness and optimism enable us to be receptive to new possibilities, energize the mind and body, and strengthen the immune system. Did you know that? Being an optimist strengthens your immune system. He writes, pessimistic mental attitudes, sadness, and feelings of despair constrict awareness and weaken the mind and body. Then he says, we do not need a reason to be optimistic. If we are habitually pessimistic, it's only because we choose to dramatize this mental state. If we are inclined to blame circumstances or the behaviors of others for our mental and emotional states, we need to grow to emotional maturity by choosing to be responsible for our thoughts, feelings, and circumstances. We have to choose to be responsible for our own thoughts. Choose. John Randolph Price wrote the Abundance book, and he says in it, what we want is a spiritual understanding that God is our all-sufficiency of supply in all things. What is he saying? He says, in order to be optimistic, to not be down, being a dramatic, what do they call, pearl clutching, whatever, to not be bound by negative thoughts, to be free to choose positive thoughts, we need a spiritual understanding that God is our all-sufficiency of supply in everything. God is the source, the substance, and the supply. On page 71 in this beautiful little book, he has an excerpt from a book that he wrote called With Wings as Eagles. So, yes, this is the abundance book, but this quote he has in here is from another one of his books, With Wings as Eagles. So if you're thinking, oh, I want that, you can just go get the With Wings as Eagle books. He writes, "There is a fountain of love within you, and from it flows the fulfillment of all you could desire, the light substance to bring every form into visibility. The fountain is never in disrepair. Its operation is eternally perfect, and its power source is my love for you, a love so great that it is beyond your comprehension. The flow from the fountain is endless and bountiful. Will you not stand in the stream with me now and eradicate all appearances of lack in your life? Come to me. Come within and feel the rushing waters of infinite supply. Indeed, your cup runneth over. There is no emptiness in my universe, no shortages, no limitations. All is forever filled. All is forever filled full. Can you understand that I am the fountain, the flow, and the fulfillment?" So the divine is telling us, hey, I am the fountain, the flow, and the fulfillment. It is the infinite giving nature sustaining all of us. He talked about creating thought forms that we in science of mind understand as mold and the law of equivalence, what we create a mental mold of, not moldy, but like pottery mold. When we create that mental mold of what we desire, what we expect to see, then it comes forth. The law of mental equivalence. So the thought form is the mold. And John Randolph Price wrote, "I am the spirit of infinite plenty individualized. I am boundless abundance in radiant expression." We could use these as affirmations. "I lovingly see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all, according to the Father's guidance." Because when we are filled to overflowing with all that is, and we want to give, we don't just go out on our front step and dump stuff and hope somebody comes by and gets it. No, we give as part of the law of circulation, as part of the law of mental equivalence, as part of just simply being spirit in action, being a spiritual immortal being, having a human experience, giving of these things that are already given to us from the fullness of the bounty of the universe. I'll say those again. I am the spirit of infinite plenty, individualized. I am boundless abundance in radiant expression. I lovingly see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all according to the Father's guidance. We want to recognize God as the source of all good, because that's what God is, the source, the substance, and the supply. Margaret P. Willey wrote a little piece called Gratitude. And she says, gratitude in its higher aspect belongs to God. When we recognize Him as the source of all good, when we see ourselves as the sons of God, children and heirs of the Most High, and know our real gifts to be spiritual gifts, then we react to this seeing good, the absolute good, and pour forth in response to it all the love of our being, giving as we receive. Our gratitude is raised to the nth degree, and the power of the Lord is upon us. The power of the Lord is upon us. We recognize the divine as the source of all good when we see ourselves as the sons of God. And then there's this woman I want to quote, Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr, who said, act as if you inherited the entire universe, because you did. You did. In September of 2021, there was a piece from the Daily Word about prosperity. The quote is, I enrich my prosperous life by sharing my good. Prosperity is not for me alone. From my treasure to my possessions to my life experience, all the things I have done and learned deepen in value when I seek to bless others. When I seek to bless others. Bounty increases through sharing. No matter its worldly value, any gift is an act of faith reflecting my belief in the circulation of God's goodness. I express faith through generosity and a consciousness of prosperity. My time and attention are among the greatest gifts I have to share. I cultivate the richness of life by practicing gratitude, giving, and receiving. With a willing and grateful heart, I am a joyful participant in circulating abundance. We are giving from fullness. We are already filled to overflowing with everything that the universe has. And it's not just has to offer. It has already given it to us. It is up to us to acknowledge and receive. It's not like we have to put in a purchase order. Dear God, you know, I think I'm running low on patience. Could you, like, ship me out some patience now, stat, urgent? No. Dear God, I think I'm running out of grass seed to plant grass everywhere. No. Everything is already ours. We simply acknowledge it and receive it. And it comes to us in its highest and greatest form for us. Because if we think that planting grass seed is the task, it's not. The task is nurturing life. That is the task. In the Bible, Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, it says, taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Blessed them that they could be a blessing to others. That's what we do. If we think, okay, I'm going to give $5, but we give it with an attitude of blessing, that $5 multiplies. By the time it's out of our hand, it is already multiplying so that it serves more with the bread of life or with whatever. The giving from fullness that I thought encapsulated my whole talk is by someone at the Union Path. It encapsulizes everything that I wanted to convey in this message, and I'm going to read it to you. Giving from fullness. It's a wholly different experience to give out of fullness. To give not needing anything. To give not because we're going to get credit or kudos or congratulations or rewards. We're just doing it to do it. The act is enough. We don't need anything else. We don't need a witness. We don't need an audience. We don't need credit. We do the good because it feels good. And if we do enough that feels good, we have a good life. I really don't think it's much more complicated than that, at least over the long term. That kindness and generosity are not depleting. Quite the opposite. They are enriching. They are energizing. They are supplying. They are nourishing. And even more so when we do it from a place of fullness. When we do it because we're expressing our true nature, because this is what we are on the inside. We are fullness on the inside. James Russell Lowell was an author, and he wrote, "Now is the high tide of the year, and whatever of life hath ebbed away comes flooding back with ripply cheer. Now the heart is so full that a drop overfills it. We are happy now because God wills it." When I was writing that song, there are times when I feel so full. I feel that everything is just pouring out of me. That if I were to try and add one more drop of anything, it would just spill over in my giving, in my loving, in my sharing. This is a good life. This is a good way to be. To focus on knowing that we are already filled to overflowing and simply giving from that consciousness of fullness. Giving from fullness. The simplest way of giving from fullness is by praying, by seeing the truth of goodness in every situation. Yes. There is goodness in every situation. Sometimes you really have to dig for it. But if you go in thinking there is goodness here, there is light here, then it will reveal itself to you in some manner. Even if you have to shovel through fertilizer to find it. What we can do then is choose. What do we want to pray for? Who do we want to pray for? What do we want to pray about? This coming week, I would like us all to pray. Do spiritual mind treatment, do meditation, whatever it is, to bless the lives of everyone who has been touched by San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. One of our catchphrases is touching lives in the heart of San Diego. And through our actions, through our events, through our talks, through our recordings, through the people taking our classes, these lives have been touched, but not in a vacuum. Every life that has been touched by some artifact in and around this center has gone out to touch more lives. There are people who attend our center who have been invited by others who were touched by the love, the unconditional love, and the acceptance that we have right here. So this week, please pray for the greatest and highest good for all who have been touched, had their lives touched by San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, either directly or indirectly. Because what you will find with that prayer is it is so full, it will spill over into your life just by touching the consciousness of all of the good that has already occurred, all of the blessings that have already been counted. And so by knowing the highest and best, the greatest and highest good for all of these people, we are refreshing the blessings. We are reenacting the blessings. We are knowing that the fullness of life is evident in each and every one. When we pray for the highest and greatest good for anyone or anything, we don't have to know what it is. So it's not our job to contact all these people saying, what is your greatest and highest good today? No. We don't have to know, because the universe, God, the omniscient, already knows. So we simply verbalize knowing that their greatest and highest good is occurring now. And for this, we are grateful. And we just let it go. And with that, the law is kicked into motion. And our words stimulate even more good in the lives of everyone. So giving from fullness. Like Reverend Mark told us, divine love maintains the calm of my being. It disciplines and balances my emotions because we are filled to overflowing and our every need is met. And so I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.